Welcome back. It's Peter Ould. You're listening to The Space Show on 88.3 Southern FM. Welcome back. Well, we have someone very special on the line. You've heard of Elon Musk, space entrepreneur, multi-billionaire, that sort of thing. Well, we don't have you on the line, but we do have a space entrepreneur and an aerospace engineer and an innovator based here, right here in Australia. Robert Brand has got many irons in the fire and a lot of things happening around the space scene in Australia. And he's here on the line from Sydney to talk to us about his latest project, Mars Medium Mission. Robert, can you tell us a bit about it?
Yes, g'day. Good to be here. Well, it's not my latest one. It actually has been running since 2012. That's when I first was asked about how I would envisage getting a whole stack of probes onto the ground on Mars. And from that time on, it's been a work in progress, mainly in the UK. It's been basically tested out on the deserts in Morocco on a Mars simulation test, and the University of Central Lancashire has been doing all the theoretical work up to date, and it's just come across to Australia for the final phases of the whole mission. So I may be the architect of the mission, but I'm certainly not the person who invented it. I guess Median is it's a long drawn out name that is a little bit unusual. It's methane detection. So
okay.
Keeping that in mind, I won't go into the rest of it. You can look it up on the website. In situ analysis by nano landers and all sorts of things.
Okay.
I think my friend was really just going crazy thinking about a name that matched a word.
Right.
But, yeah.
So the concept here is to try to land some detectors on Mars. Is that what it is, Robert?
Yeah, we have methane detectors that we have to get onto the Martian surface, and several of them, and they have to network together. So this makes it really quite interesting. Civil space, it'll be a network which hasn't been done before, and there's never been a successful penetrator-type probe landed anywhere that's been able to get down. Most of them are blown up on the way to Mars or the Moon and so on.
Yeah, a few have penetrated, but not in a controlled fashion. Yeah, right.
Yeah, some of them are just to go bang.
So how is it that this is, how's it being funded? How are you going to get it to Mars, and what have you got to do from now? And who's involved? Is Australia involved? Is Australia financing it, or is it what's happening? Is the government backing you with multiple billions of dollars? Tell me.
Right, I've made contact with the government, and hopefully things will change. The new minister just sent the letter over to an underling out there in the space field, and they came back and said, well, we don't have a space agency, we're working on something, but who knows what that is at this stage, we're not prepared to say. Basically, if you want money, you better weaponize it, because only the military have the money for this. So no, the government isn't rushing in to say, this is a wonderful thing, we better do something about it. In fact, it goes against the three pillars of what they were supporting some years ago when we had that big change come into place. And basically, other planets were not on the scene as far as anything we were doing, and therefore the focus was not to be on that sort of exploration.
Right. So who's funding what's happened thus far, and what's the sort of the road forward? Is it need to be adopted by
so
the agency? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far it's all been funded by grants that have been slow to arrive, and that's why it's taken from 2012 to get this far. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a number of opportunities for funding coming up, but the sorts of tests we have to do here are not going to be expensive, and we will work with universities and basically get the penetrators built. The stuff that we're building is not expensive. It's just a really low-cost type of exercise to build the penetrators and test them and rebuild them. We're not going to try and just smash into the ground. We're going to try and slow it down a hell of a lot on the way down, and also to have it impact with a lot of suppression so the G-forces are minimized. So, you know, we've seen figures on G-forces of about 100,000 Gs for some of these impactors, and it's not a good thing.
So where would you be detecting the methane? Was it subsurface methane? Is that what you're looking at?
No, in the air. The whole idea of keeping these things off the ground using a fairly tall spike that will survive, we're looking at the ability for airflow over the device and also strong radio signals, which work better if you're a little bit off the ground. We also have a very strong solar panel in mind, which should also provide power for at least 6 months and possibly longer. The ride, we've actually had an offer from a very large space agency. I can't say who at the moment, but that'll become apparent over the next few months. And I'll be going to meetings overseas to bed down the whole arrangement.
Right. So this is a government agency of a country that you're talking
another
about.
Another country, yes.
Right. Okay.
Basically, we would be jumping on a free ride because we'd be utilising balance type masses, a bit like you have on your tyre where they balance it up so it doesn't vibrate.
Oh, yes.
They ditch these balance masses along the way as they come into land, and they're just dumped on the surface of Mars.
So they're just dead weight. Curiosity used those, didn't they, on its way down?
Dead weight. Yeah, Curiosity has them. The ESA one has them. There's quite a few type of activities, but they all tend to use this balanced mass because to slow down in the Mars atmosphere, it actually skims across the top of the atmosphere by taking on a rather interesting angle of attack, and the heat shield just acts as a lifting body, and it skims for about 100 kilometres slowing down.
Wow.
And that's where they get the majority of their slowing before dropping down on parachutes.
Sure. So the penetrators will have to do their own entry into the atmosphere with heat shields and things, or are they going to be just robust enough to just go straight through? Or how's that going to work?
We have two opportunities for penetrators. One is the median one, which will actually happen just before the parachute opens, and that means that we would have to drop about 11 kilometres in the Martian atmosphere and use some rather interesting braking ring. It would be a collar around the top of the spacecraft, which actually would dual as a solar panel on the ground. But the other opportunity, which has not been defined at all yet, is that we could release a couple of penetrators before we hit the atmosphere, and they would land probably 100 and something kilometres away from where the rover or the spacecraft would land. So they would just go flying through the atmosphere. It would need a heat shield, probably a ceramic case of some sort, and the ceramic case would break as it hit the Martian soil, and the penetrator would drive in, leaving an antenna at the top with some electronics to radio back the findings. So there's another opportunity to do science that we haven't even tagged yet as to what its purpose would be.
Right. So these designs are going to be tested here in Australia, dropping them out of aircraft or balloons or something? Is that how you're
going to... Yeah, we're going to go down to the ADFA facilities in Canberra and use their gas gun for some of this. And we have some very smart people who can help us design Mars simulants of a number of varieties that we might find at the landing site. And we'll have to try and hit around about 100 metres per second in these tests. They won't be testing the actual penetrators in the first instance. They'll be testing electronics that will tell us all about how much G-force we're going to actually hit using these long probes to try and suppress the G-force. And you've got to remember, a woodpecker can withstand 1,200 Gs without too much trouble, so electronics would be able to handle that if built properly.
Wow.
But, you know, we know some people are claiming huge numbers of, G-force figures, and some people as much as 100,000 Gs, which I've been reading a lot about this on previous tests and that. So it's all doable. It's just getting Australia to do it.
Yeah, wouldn't we like that? So tell me, what's the significance of methane? Why are you looking for methane?
Life, the search for life. If we find a methane vent because we know which way the wind's coming from, we sense methane, we draw a line out to where it's come from, it passes over another one of our probes as the wind changes, we draw another line and we've triangulated the source of the methane, and a rover could go over and check out what sort of methane it is, because there are different ions and the like in the different methanes, either from chemical or biological sources, and it'll be able to determine where it's come from, biological or chemical.
Well, it sounds fascinating, Robert. So where can people go to find out more information, and can people get involved, send you money? What would you like to happen from here? Have you got a website?
Right. We haven't chased up money angled yet. We only just received the fact that we're taking over from here on in from the UK in the last week or so. Thus, it's all happened very quickly. We'll put it on the website. There's certainly thunderstruck.space, which is my company's website, has a lot of information about the whole mission and some of the other things we're doing, our stratospheric airship, and shortly I'll be putting up some information about the scannable retro reflectors for navigation in space. But those sorts of things are also there. But have a look at the Mars Median mission, and we're starting to get some very interesting people on board. So you can look at the team. And if you have some real skill sets that we might find interesting, contact me. Definitely contact me. There's a contact page there that you can leave information on. And if you really want to send us some money, then we won't say no at this stage. You can let us know on that sheet as well.
I'll have to pass through my office first and check, make sure it's legit. Well, thank you, Robert. That sounds fascinating. Unfortunately, time's once again running against us. But look, we've had discussions, and I think you might be penciled in for our April Space Association meeting. So, look, I'll let people know about that. Thank you for joining us tonight, and good luck with getting your experiments to Mars.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it.
Take care, Robert. Thanks for that. Well, that was Robert Brand from Sydney. Fascinating. He's always got something on the boil, Robert, so keep an eye and have a look at his website, have a look at what he's doing there.